Number two is Mary and the saints. The church has a wonderful understanding of the relationship that we as Christians should have with the Mother of the Lord and with his closest friends, the saints. In our faith, the saints are the Christian Hall of Fame. You can go to Cooperstown, New York, and see the statues of the great ball players, Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, and others. Go to Canton, Ohio, see the Football Hall of Fame. Well, every Catholic Church has the Christian Hall of Fame, where we honor and respect those who lived Christ-like lives. Individuals like Saints Peter and Paul, Saint Francis, Saint Patrick, Saint Teresa, over 20,000 canonized saints. They are our role models and examples. We do not worship Mary or the saints. We do not worship images or statues. We merely respect and honor and love Mary and the saints. The Bible says, honor your father and mother. Certainly Jesus would have honored his mother, so we honor and respect her as well. Our faith is a family. God is our heavenly Father. Jesus is our Savior, our Lord, and our brother. The angels and the saints are our big brothers and sisters, our spiritual cousins that can help us. They are our friends in high places. They are the cloud of witnesses that the letter to the Hebrews speaks about. When we think of the 20,000 canonized saints in the Catholic faith, we see what the Lord was talking about when he said, you'll know a tree by its fruits. A good tree produces good fruit. Think of a saint like St. Francis of Assisi, or St. Maximilian Kolbe, who gave his life for a prisoner in a Nazi concentration camp, or Maria Goretti, who died to preserve the virtue of chastity. Or think of a Mother Teresa, these great saints, the martyrs of the faith that have given their lives for Christ. These saints are the fruit of those who have lived out the sacraments, who were baptized, who were nourished by the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, strengthened by confirmation. So I invite you, our separated brethren, our non-Catholic brothers and sisters, to look into the Catholic Church's beautiful understanding of Mary, who is both the Mother of God and our spiritual mother. This title, Mother of God, Theotokos, merely means that her Son, Jesus Christ, was Lord and God. And because Mary gave birth to Jesus Christ, and because Jesus Christ is Lord, as Thomas the Apostle said, my Lord and my God, because Mary gave birth to Jesus Christ, we can truly call her Theotokos, the Mother of God. But she's also our own spiritual mother. Jesus honored her. Jesus lives within us. And because Christ lives within us, Mary is our spiritual mother as well. Think at the foot of the cross, Jesus said to the beloved disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour on, the beloved disciple took Mary into his home. Have you accepted Mary into your heart and into your home? Have no fear, the angel told Joseph, to accept Mary. So I invite you, have no fear to accept Mary as your spiritual mother. You accept Christ already as your personal Lord and Savior. I invite you into the family of God to accept Mary as your spiritual mother. Realize that Mary is the new Eve. As St. Paul said, Christ is the second Adam. We cannot have a second Adam without a second Eve. And just as the first Adam and Eve were created by God without sin, so the new Adam, Christ, would have no sin. He would be the blameless one, the sinless one. And the new Eve would also be created without sin. We call that Mary's Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception means that the foreseen merits of Christ were applied to Mary at the moment of her conception, that she was redeemed, she was saved by the grace of Christ when the merits of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection were applied to Our Lady by anticipation. That's why she could say in her Magnificat, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. So she could call God her Savior because she was preserved from being tainted by the original sin. We're saved after the fact by our baptism, by accepting Christ and the grace of Christ washing over our soul. Mary was saved by anticipation. And so that's why we call her the Immaculate Conception. We take the angel Gabriel at his word when he called her full of grace, that beautiful word that indicates a completed act, that Mary was full of grace from the moment of her existence. We also believe that Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. As you know, they did not worship the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, nor do we worship Mary. But they respected the Ark, they revered the Ark, they honored the Ark. And so Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant because Christ is the covenant between us and the Father. Mary is the living, walking, breathing Ark of the New Covenant because she contained within herself the Messiah for 9 months in her womb. When she went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, the unborn babe, John the Baptist, leapt in his mother's womb, just as David leapt when the Ark of the Covenant came into his presence. So Mary is the Ark of the Covenant. Take Mary as your spiritual mother, as your intercessor. We go to Christ directly, but let us go with Mary and through Mary to come to Christ. Think of the wedding feast of Cana. When his mother asked him to work the first miracle, he at first said, "My hour has not yet come." But his blessed mother asked him, and he worked his first miracle at Our Lady's request. So wouldn't it be wonderful to have Mary as our intercessor, as our prayer partner, when we go to Jesus? As the Bible says, the prayer of the righteous man availeth much. Who is more righteous than his own mother, the sinless one, who will be the chosen vessel through which the Messiah will come into the world? So Mary is our powerful intercessor. She is the mother of Christ and the mother of the church. As Bishop Sheen once said, if you could create your own mother, wouldn't you have made her sinless, pure, beautiful, and as holy as imagined? And so Jesus would honor his mother by making her as beautiful as possible. God is the only one who pre-existed his mother, and he would certainly make her incredibly holy and beautiful. As Father Carapi says, if she's good enough for Jesus, she's good enough for us.